Hello, and welcome to the Project Elected podcast. Project Elect is a nonpartisan nonprofit whose goal is pretty simple. We want to get more Latter-day Saint women involved in public service. On this podcast, we interview amazing Latter-day Saint women who are involved in public service. Hi, my name is Audrey Perry Martin. I'm the founder of Project Elect and the host of this podcast. I am here today with Catherine Dahlin. She is running for Congress in Utah in the 3rd District. And she is fantastic. We realize we've known each other somehow for years. And I am really excited to talk to her and hear her story. Catherine, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me, Audrey. This is wonderful. I'm excited to be here.
I know you're in a big race right now, but I want to talk to you about your background and how you got to the point where you decided to run for Congress. What's your experience? Tell me your story.
I grew up in a family that, probably like a lot of people, really valued the country. You know, it was very patriotic. We were big into the 4th of July and respect. My parents used to say, freedom is not free, a lot. When I saw that the first time on the Korean War Memorial in DC was the first time I realized that was a saying that came from outside of my home. I learned from a young age gratitude for our country. And when I was in high school, I participated with the American Legion Auxiliary and Girls State and ended up going to Girls Nation and just always had this interest and appreciation for our country. And so then when I went to college, I went to BYU and I studied political science and ended up after I graduated, I moved to Washington, D.C. I started as an intern in the Senate and basically spent about 10 years in Washington working in the Senate. I also did some policy work for a software association, but most of the time I was in the Senate. In 2008, I actually spent about 7 months in Minnesota working for the 2008 Republican convention. There's a whole team of people that put on those conventions, and I was working backstage there. And that's an important blip in my career. That's where I met my husband when he was finishing his PhD at the University of Minnesota. But most of that time I was in Washington working in the Senate or in political positions. And then in 2010, I was working for Senator Bob Bennett from Utah, and he lost his bid for reelection about the same time my husband was offered a professorship at BYU. And so we decided that this was a great time for us to move back west. We wanted to have a family and be a little closer to our families when we did that. And so we moved to Utah in late 2010. And I did some work with some transportation organizations and some housing, some technology. Mostly a couple years later, I had my first of 4 kids. And after my second was born, I decided to stay home full time and then had number 3 and number 4 and have been very busy in that role for the last 12 years, which has been a dream and also hard, right? All the things that having a family are. When I moved back to Utah, I knew that I wanted to be a voice in the community. And so right away I ran. I'm pretty sure it was just in the spring of 2011. I ran to be a delegate through the caucus system in Utah and have been a state delegate and a caucus chair and have been involved in that way ever since and have really loved getting to know and understand a little bit more the Utah caucus system and being a part of that. And then 5 or 6 years ago, I started getting involved in all of the things that my kids are involved in. I've been very involved in the PTA at my kids' schools and middle schools and working on the boards there, working to increase the opportunities for kids in my area and all those things that touch our families, right? Working with the library or with the city or with different things that are important for my family. So I've always tried to find areas of my community to and ways to be involved. And there have been a number of political campaigns here in Utah that I have helped on, been a volunteer or worked with. And it's always been something that's really important to me. I want to be a part of that. I want to make our community better. And this is one way that where I feel that passion. And so I am always paying attention to what's going on. And as this past fall, as the political season is ramping up for 2024, I have been watching the House and Senate and local races here. And when John Curtis, who is the current congressman in Utah's 3rd District, when he announced that he would be running for Mitt Romney's seat in the Senate, it created an open seat here in the 3rd District. And as I watched the filings and talked with a lot of people that I have worked with and in both political and community ways, we felt strongly, and I felt strongly, that there were a lot of voices not being represented by those who were running. This is something that I have a unique background with. I feel like it's the best of both worlds, right? I know how Congress works. I understand how our government works on a state and national level, but also I'm a real person. I am involved in my community. I have spent more than the last decade working to create a successful family, right? And paying my bills and buying a home and going through all of these American family milestones that are the things that people care about. And so I think with that unique experience, it really has given me a different perspective that wasn't really represented in this race. And so I'm excited to be in there and give a voice to a lot of people who may not otherwise be represented in Congress right now.
I love that you're running because you have such perfect experience. In my mind, like you have 10 years working in the Senate on the highest levels of government, right? With really important issues. And then at the same time, you've got all this time that you've been a mom and have been with your kids and in your community. And you know the national and the local so well that we don't have enough people in Congress who really have been down in the weeds in their communities like you have. So tell me a little bit about what you've done in your community and at your kids' schools and all of those things and some of the things that you've worked on.
Thanks, Audrey. That's nice of you to say. Things that are important to me, I have really worked in, we have a lot of it where I live in Draper and all along the Wasatch Front. There are really good school districts, but just like everywhere, there are a lot of kids and we have a teacher shortage in Utah. We've worked with the PTA in bringing in extra funding so that we can have extra aides. But also one thing I think is so important that we've done is sometimes there's a breakdown between what the educators or the state or even the school district is saying the kids need and what the parents are feeling like they need. And one example is there was a big push to get a Chromebook for every kid. And that was something that came down from higher levels, right? And everyone, that is a great indicator of the success of your school. But for the parents, we were saying, no, actually, we would prefer our kids we're spending less time on Chromebooks and having more face-to-face instruction with teachers. And that was a breakdown. And being a part of the PTA and the parent organizations and having those relationships with the teachers and the principals really gives you an opportunity to say that sometimes I think there's a lot of complaining and there's a lot of those voices that are saying, oh no, they're wrong or whatever. But by having those relationships, I could go to the principal and say, okay, I know that this was the goal for what you'd like to do with the money that the PTA raises this year, but these are the reasons why we'd rather have other opportunities for the kids. We'd like that money to be spent other places. And so I've really seen success by creating relationships and being able to open those communication lines. And I think that's probably the most important thing that I've learned on this local level is that there are different ways to communicate. But if we have strong relationships and if we're not just yelling or saying what's wrong, but coming up with solutions and working together, it's so much more effective. It's better for the teachers. It's better for the principals. It's better for the parents and the kids, right? Which is what we're working towards. So that's something I have loved about the experiences that I've had right in my own community.
That's such a great example. I love the Chromebook example because it's one that all parents can relate to, right? My daughter just started a school this year where they gave everyone a Chromebook and I'm like, this is terrible. Why do you think this is a good idea?
Right. Someone decided that's a really good metric, right? But it's not the parents' favorite.
I think you're absolutely right. I think that's the disconnect between the parents and the schools is often a problem. And I love how you put that on a higher level that, yeah, it's just the breakdown of communication. Because if you actually are communicating and coming up with solutions as opposed to complaining and getting mad and trying to stop things, that's not good for the kids. And what good experience to have had and to actually be able to be the one building those bridges. You have four kids. Tell me how they reacted to you running for office. And has your family been involved? How has that worked out?
Because my kids are so young, my sweet four-year-old Andrew asks regularly, is your race today, Mom? When are you going to run your race? Just trying to understand that. But my older kids are old enough, they've seen me be involved and come. We always make a point in Utah, you vote by mail, but our kids always see us voting and know that that's important to us and our family. It's wonderful to see their desire to be a part of it, to understand it. My 10-year-old daughter, who wants to be a star, she's ready to start a YouTube channel for me. So hold back. But she asked for days before my filing, can I tell my teachers today? Can I tell my teachers today? Just really excited. And all three of my older kids are still younger, but they're excited about mom being involved in this process. And really a lot of that comes from the enthusiasm of their dad too. My Eric is very supportive and is when I am not there, when I am needing to be on a call or at an event, he's talking to them and saying, isn't this neat that mom is doing this for our country and for our family? Because we want America to be a strong, wonderful place when you guys grow up too, not just right now, but she's working so that when you're older. And I think for them seeing this and seeing their parents work together in this way and being able to be a part of it, going to events and loving to sing the national anthem. Those are all really positives that are coming to my whole family through this experience.
That's incredible. And I love how you framed it as this is for your future and try to get your kids to think the long term that there's freedom's not free, like your family always said. There's long term things we need to do to make sure our country is still wonderful and the next generations to come. And that's probably not always easy to get across to younger kids, but it helps them understand why maybe mom can't do their homework with them tonight or something.
Yeah.
I love how you're approaching that with them. So when you decided to run for office, what made you just decide, okay, I'm going to jump it. I'm going to do this. Because you haven't run for political office before. Is that right? You haven't been the candidate.
Correct.
You've worked with candidates. You've worked on campaigns. You've worked in politics for a long time, but you haven't ever been the candidate. What made you brave enough to take that jump?
I have thought over the years, I really think that public service is a service. Like, it's hard work. And so I really admire people that are willing to make that sacrifice for their community, for their state, for their country, like wherever it is along. And so I've taken over the years a couple of those. If you go online, there's little courses that you can take about considering what you'd want to do if you want to be a candidate. And one thing that has stuck out from those is that there is never a perfect time. If you're waiting for everything to look perfect, you're never going to take that opportunity. And as I came up to this decision about this filing, there were a lot of things I said, oh, what am I going to do about this? Or can I do this? Or this isn't perfect yet. Maybe in a couple of years, I would prefer this. But that kept coming to me, right? That really stuck out to me, that it really is, there is no perfect time. And part of it is just being willing to step in and take a leap of faith. And I think that was really important for me. There are a lot of things that made me want to do this, right? I see a lot of things in our country and the way our Congress is working that need to be changed, right? I am unhappy with the progress that is not being made in our Congress and our federal government. And so I felt compelled to move forward with that. And the things holding me back, I realized there's never going to be a perfect time. There is an opportunity here, an opportunity for a different voice, an opportunity for someone representing Utah families, you know, this opportunity. And if I waited for everything to line up perfectly, that would never come. So it was going to take a leap of faith.
Good for you for doing it and for making that leap. How, what, Do you have any experiences while you've been running? I know you've only, I think filing was in January, so it hasn't been that long, but that kind of affirmed your decision that you were doing the right thing, that this is what you were supposed to do.
We've had a few events where all the candidates have been there and, or most of the candidates have been there. And there have been a couple of events that I've done where I'm talking to people and hearing that feedback that, hey, I don't feel like I'm being represented. I don't feel like there's a voice out there that is family in Utah, right? The person who is not a politician or not in that world. And hearing that from people who are looking for another option, who are maybe concerned about the way the direction of the country, but not sure what to do and turned off by politics, right? There are a lot of people who are turned off by the conflict or not feeling like they know enough, right? I don't know all of the issues. So I really, yeah, I can't say anything, but I know that I don't like what's going on. And those people, like giving a voice to them and saying, hey, this stuff is important to regular people. And being that, as I've heard that feedback and as I've watched in groups when we all stand up together, I feel like over and over, it has been confirmed to me that there is an important place for my voice in this race. There is an important place for women in a lot of races where not just women, family, a voice that's different from the regular politician. And I think there are a lot of great politicians. I'm not trying to say that they're all bad, but there are a lot of people, a lot of our population is not being represented in a lot of races. And I think having more women step up is a great way to be more representative in not just in Congress, but in the campaigns, in the races that we see. We should have lots of, I hope that we can have more options to choose from because we're going to have better choices. We're going to like our choices more when there are more people stepping out and adding their voice to the conversation.
Yeah, absolutely. That's such a good point. And what you were saying before about negative conflicts, fighting in politics, how have you dealt with that so far in your campaign?
Yeah, I think we're still so new. That's probably coming a little bit further, but I have seen people say unkind things on social media or they are not, you know, not supportive. So that's definitely there. And for me, I have been in these events where there's the other candidates. It seems like such a great opportunity to get. So I've really enjoyed meeting the people that I'm running against and seeing them and creating a relationship with them, right? Because they're regular people too. We have different backgrounds and different experiences, but I want to say hi. And no matter what, one of us is going to end up being our next congressperson. And I would like to have an open dialogue with those people. No matter who wins or loses, these are people who care about our community and who are willing to put themselves out there. And we disagree on some things, but I think, again, just like I learned in the PTA or at the library, those relationships that we can build with people, that is what is going to, I think, improve our country, improve the way our government works, is when we understand and are willing to talk and have good relationships. The people that you know, and when you're talking to them face to face, I like to think, we'll see how it goes, but I like to think that we're not going to be pulling each other down online or when we're not together, if we can have a relationship. So I see those relationships as a positive, and I can focus on that more than I can on any negative voices.
What an amazing way to think about your opponents in a political race. That's so rare that you're thinking of them as people you can get to know and understand and appreciate. And so often the language of campaigns is like war, battle, conflict, right? And if you approach it, you can approach it completely differently. Like, we all love our community and we're all running because we think certain issues are important, and let's talk about it. That's amazing. What do you think are some good personality traits or strengths in someone who's running for office, becoming a candidate?
I would say the most important thing is a willingness to work. It has been a lot of work. I'm still at the very beginning, but it's work, right? There's a lot of talking and a lot of figuring out your positions, but it's work. And so I think you're willing to work, you're called for this, right? Be ready to work hard and to listen. I think listening is also a great skill. A lot of people just want to be heard, right? We want to know that someone is listening to our concerns. And so I'd say, yeah, working and listening are really important qualities. And those are things that anyone can develop, right? We can all get there, but those are two things.
I know the seat, nobody was really sure if it was going to be open or not, because John Curtis wasn't really sure whether he was going to run or not for Romney's seat. So I'm guessing you had to put a team together pretty quickly once you decided to do this race. How was that? How did that work? And how did you find the right people to help you?
The team is so important. I think that's a great question. I'm learning as I'm going, right? So as soon as I decided that I was going to run, I reached out to some people that I knew who had been involved in campaigns or had just worked in the campaign world in general. And I talked to them about where do I go? What do I need to do from day one? And reaching out to those people and having people who have run campaigns before or who have been a candidate before is wonderful. And a lot of those people I didn't know personally, right? I just reached out to them and I said, hey, I am looking at putting my hat into the ring for the 3rd Congressional District in Utah, and you ran for this, or I know you ran this person's campaign. Would you mind sitting down with me? And admitting and knowing where I don't have any knowledge or didn't have any knowledge, and talking to people and listening, getting their advice, that was so important in those first couple of weeks. And I think that we have avoided some really common pitfalls for first-time candidates because of the experiences of others, listening to their experiences and just really proactively going out and asking for those, for that input. So that has been great. And as far as finding good people, there are a lot of people in my circle that I knew who have been involved, who care about the community. And so I was able to talk to some of those people and have them come on. I think right when you're starting a campaign, the best way is to find the people who are willing to work for free. The people that are willing to volunteer with you are really going to be the people who are going to fight for your campaign, for your cause. And money is a really important part of campaigns. That's something that I had heard a million times before, but I'm learning it on a very intimate level. And it really is important. So when there are those people who believe in your cause or believe in your campaign enough to give of their time, those people are really invaluable and important. I think another really important part of it is those people who are going to support you. And for me, he's not on my official team, but my husband has been just so supportive. And there are highs and lows. A campaign is a mental game, I'm learning, right? There are some really wonderful highs and really tough, scary things that you are trying to figure out. And having that solid partner or person who is there and on your team has been key for me.
I love how you reached out to so many people, and if you didn't know them, to talk to them before you jumped in the race. What good advice did they give you? Is there any pearls of wisdom you could share?
I will say it's super interesting to see the people who respond and the people who don't. So that's super interesting. And just as someone running, I think, oh, I want to be one of those people who is interested in lifting my community. Whether win or lose, I am learning some great things. And I would love to help anyone who is willing to make the sacrifice to run, right? I want to be one of those people. I hope I'm available for people who are interested in the future. So that is one thing I've learned is that they haven't taught me, but that I've just learned that has really given me pause to say, okay, these people really do care about, they're not running for themselves. They're running because they want to make our communities stronger. So I really appreciate that. I think some good advice I got early on is to make a plan, do a financial plan from the start and the end of the campaign and start from election day, moving backwards. There are so many things to do right now. This is fascinating. I never would have expected, but from the day I filed, or the state makes those filings public. And so my campaign email address and phone, they're public. And there are companies who work on elections and they go get those public filings and I get spam every day selling me these things that I have to have for my campaign, right? And it would be fun to have pens to give all of my friends with Catherine for Utah. And maybe I'll have that later on. But really wise advice that I think some first-time candidates definitely don't get is start from the end. Start from election day, look at your expenses, and go backwards. And in February, if you have money for those pens, then you can buy them. But if not, wait until you're going to want them in May, right? Or when it is. So I think setting out that timeline for finances and for events, do a calendar timeline from your election backwards. Those were really great. They seem basic, but as a first-time candidate, I didn't know that. And to go from there and work backwards has been really helpful, both financially and timeline-wise, so that we are meeting these benchmarks that we need to meet along the way.
That is good advice. I like that a lot. I can see how it would be hard to know exactly what to spend your money on when you're first starting out. We are almost out of time, but I'm wondering if you have an invitation to our listeners of something they can do right away to get more involved in public service.
So I've listened to a number of your podcasts, Audrey, and I love the invitation part. I think that's such a wonderful idea and way to move forward and get us all to act. So thank you for doing that. It is 2024. It's an election year. There will be a lot of elections for everyone. Every person in America, their congressperson will be elected this year, either reelected or a new person elected. A lot of governors are up for reelection this year. There are state legislators that are being elected, mayors. Everyone in America is going to be voting or is going to have the opportunity to vote this year. And so my invitation would be to go and look up a candidate, look up their website, decide, is it my mayor I'm interested in this year, or my governor or my congressperson? I'm going to go and find out the people and look on their websites. I think we can get a lot of good information from the media. But if you go directly to people's websites, then you're getting their words and their priorities. What are the things that are important to them? And look and see what's important to you. And so that you are just a little bit more informed. I'm not saying you need to do this every day or once a month or anything, but take 10 minutes and go look up a couple of people and prepare yourself for the voting that you're going to be doing later this year, but also just right now so that you're more aware of those people that are voting. I think that sometimes in our world, it feels like we don't have time or it's too much, but 5 or 10 minutes will make a big difference and will help you be more informed and feel like that mountain of all the decisions that you need to make or all the candidates running is a little bit smaller.
That's such good advice. And I especially like it in a presidential election year where, like you said, people feel like their vote doesn't count if they're not in a swing state. But maybe your vote for president is a wash at some point, but there's so many other really important races. And I think sometimes even more important as far as what your local life is going to look like, what your day-to-day is going to look like are the local races. And so spending a little time understanding what's going on there and who the candidates are is such good advice. So thank you. Don't be discouraged if you don't live in a swing state this year. Your vote still is really important.
Still a lot of important votes. Exactly.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you so much for that invitation and just for taking the time. I know how busy you are right now to talk to us and tell us your story and give us some great advice.
Thank you, Audrey. This is wonderful. I really appreciate what you're doing.
Yeah, thank you. And good luck with the rest of your campaign.
Thank you all for listening to Project Elected podcast. For free resources and materials, head over to projectelectwomen.org. We're also on Instagram and Facebook as Project Elect Women. We'd love for you to subscribe, rate us, or give us a review on iTunes. So until next time, thank you.